Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Chametz Umatzah, Perek Dalid. The Isurim of Bal Yera'eh and Bal Yimatzeh have already come up in Perek Aleph and in Perek Gimel, and we discussed on those occasions some of the parameters of these two Isurim, including when they take effect and how one can be punished for violating them. In this perek, the Rambam addresses the fundamental questions of what type of monetary relationship to chametz qualifies as a violation of Bal Yera'eh and Bal Yimatzeh, and what types of chametz are included in these prohibitions. Halacha Aleph. Katuv Batorah, Lo Yera'eh lecha chametz, Yachol im tamanoto o hifkidoto biyad goyim lo ye over alav, Tamud lamar, Seor lo yimatzeh bevateichem. Afilu hitmino o hifkido, yachol lo yihye over, ela imkein haya hachametz beveito, aval im haya rachok mibeito, basadeh o beir acheret lo yihye over, tamud lomar bechol gevulecha, bechol rishuto, yachol yihye chayav leva'er merishuto chametz shel goy o shel hektesh, tamud lomar lo yere'e lecha, shelcha ein ata ro'eh, aval ata ro'eh shel achirim veshel gavoah. If the Torah had written only Velo Yera'eh lecha chametz, we would have thought it was okay to hide chametz over Pesach, where it won't be seen, or to deposit it with a non-Jew. Therefore, the Torah added the pasuk of Seor lo yimatzeh bevateichem, to teach us that even in these situations, one is in violation. Had the Torah written only the second pasuk of lo yimatzeh bevateichem, mentioning only the home, we would have thought that one is not in violation for chametz which is not in his home, but in his field or some other of his properties. Hence, the first pasuk concludes, Bechol Gevulecha, in order to include chametz, which is anywhere on one's property, in the Isser. In addition, the word Lecha in the first pasuk comes to exclude chametz owned by someone else or by Hekdesh, even if it happens to be located in one's home. So the two psukim complement one another in detailing the parameters of what exactly is forbidden. The Rambam summarizes these details in Halacha Bet. On any chametz which one owns, even if it is hidden in his home, located in his property in another city, or deposited with a non-Jew, he violates Bal Yera'eh uVal Yimatzeh. He is not in violation for chametz of Hekdesh, or of a non-Jew located in his own home, because this chametz doesn't belong to him. The Rambam makes it clear that the essential criterion for violating Bal Yera'eh uVal Yimatzeh is ownership of the chametz, no matter where it is located. The Ramban al Torah disputes this, and believes that one cannot violate Bal Yera'eh uVal Yimatzeh on chametz which isn't located in his property, as the Torah emphasizes Bechol Gvulecha and Bevateichem. Thus he rejects the Rambam's stringency in the case of Jewish-owned chametz deposited with a non-Jew. The Ramban agrees that one doesn't violate Bal Yera'eh uVal Yimatzeh for chametz belonging to someone else, even if it is located in his property. And we'll see in Halacha Gimel what additional condition is required in this case. But the Gra believes that if chametz of one Jew is located on the premises of another Jew, then both are in violation of Bal Yera'eh uVal Yimatzeh in all circumstances. The first because he owns the chametz, and the second because the chametz is located in his property. This can be very relevant in a situation of two Jewish roommates, one observant and one not. If the second does not sell his chametz or remove all of it from their home or apartment, then the Gra would consider even the observant roommate to be in violation of Bal Yera'eh uVal Yimatzeh. The Rambam ends Halacha Bet, Aval tzarich la'asot mechitza gevoha asarat tfachim bifnei chametzo shel goy, shema yavol listapek mimenu, aval shel hekdesh eino tzarich mipnei shakol porshin min ha-hekdesh kedei shelo yavou lidei mi'ila. If someone has chametz belonging to a non-Jew in his house over Pesach, he must keep it behind a partition at least 10 tfachim high, as otherwise we are concerned that he will eat from it. He need not do the same with chametz belonging to Hekdesh, as everyone knows to stay away from Hekdesh to avoid violating the prohibition of Mi'ilah. Recall that in the last perek, the Rambam wrote that when one finds chametz in his home during Pesach, he must cover it with a kli to avoid eating it by accident. So why does a kli not suffice here, but rather we require a 10 tefach partition? The Kesef Mishnah explains that a kli suffices for a very temporary situation, like chametz found on Yom Tov, which need only be covered until nightfall when it must be destroyed. Here, though, the chametz is in the house of the Jew over the entire holiday, and therefore we require a more substantial separation to ensure that no one will come to eat from the chametz during the Chag. Halacha Gimel. Goy shehifkid chametzo etzel Yisrael. Im kibel alav Yisrael achrayuto, shim avad o nignav yishalem lo damav, hareza chayav levaro. Ho il vikibel alav achrayut nasa kishalo. Vim lo kibel achrayut, mutar lekaimo etzlo. Umutar lechomenu achara pesach, shibershut hagoyhu. When a non-Jew deposits chametz in the home of a Jew, there is a situation in which the Jew violates bal yireu bal yimatzeh, and that is if he accepts responsibility for the chametz. As we saw, the Rambam considers the essential criterion for violating bal yireu bal yimatzeh to be ownership of the chametz, and his formulation here is consistent with that. When one accepts the responsibility for this chametz, na'asa kishalo, it is as if the chametz actually belongs to him. In this situation, if the Jew cannot return the chametz before Pesach, then he must destroy it to avoid violating these Isurim. Though the Magen Avram adds that alternatively, he can deposit the chametz with another non-Jew who is willing to accept responsibility for it. The Rambam doesn't discuss a case in which a Jew deposits chametz with another Jew who accepts responsibility for it. There are different girsot in the Shulchan Aruch about this case, but either way, the Jewish owner violates bal yireu bal yimatzeh, despite the responsibility accepted by the shomer. In one girsa, he alone is in violation, and in the other girsa, both he and the shomer are in violation of bal yireu bal yimatzeh. What level of responsibility is necessary in order to violate these isurim? Halacha recognizes three levels of responsibility in the context of Hilchot Shomrim. A shomer chinam, someone who guards an object without pay, is responsible only to avoid negligence, pshia, through which the object may be damaged. A shomer sachar, guarding an object for pay, and a socher, one who rents an object, is additionally responsible for cases of gneva vaveda, theft and loss, even if these occurred not due to negligence. Finally, a shoel, one who borrows an object and gets to use it for free, has the highest level of responsibility, which covers even cases of onus, damage caused accidentally in circumstances entirely beyond his control. The Rambam writes here that for bal yireu bal yimatzeh purposes, the relevant level of responsibility is the middle one, covering both negligence and gneva vaveda. The Shulchan Aruch brings the opinion of the Rambam, but also the more stringent view of the Rush, that even the lowest level of responsibility, covering only cases of negligence, is enough to violate bal yireu bal yimatzeh. To complete the picture, we note that other Rishonim believe that one violates bal yireu bal yimatzeh only by accepting responsibility even for onsim, as only this level of responsibility is a form of quasi-ownership, in which one can suffer a loss even though he isn't at fault. The Mishnah Berurah concludes that one should be machmir l'chatchila for the opinion of the Rush, that even the lowest level of responsibility is enough. But b'di'eved, if he held onto chametz on which he has only responsibility against pshia, negligence, then it is not considered chametz sh'avar alav Pesach, and it is permitted after Pesach. In Halacha Dalid, the Rambam adds that even if the Jew holding on to the chametz did not accept responsibility at all, but he knows that the non-Jewish depositor will force him to pay in a case of theft or loss, in this case too, Halacha considers the Jew to own the chametz for purposes of bal yireu bal yimatzeh, and he must either destroy it or find someone else to take responsibility for it before Pesach. Many Rishonim, including the Ravid in a Hasaga here, reject this stringency as based on an imprecise reading of the Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions. The Mishnah Berurah rules here too that one should be machmir l'chatchila for the Rambam, but b'di'eved l'chametz is not considered chametz shavar lava Pesach. Halacha Hey. Yisrael shehirhin chametzo etzel hagoy. Ima marlo, im lo heveti lecha ma'ot mikan va'ad yom ploni, kenei chametz ze me'achshav, harei ze birshut hagoy. Ve'oto chametz mutar lachar ha-pesach, v'hu shiyeh hazman shekavalo kodem ha-pesach. Vim lo amarlo, kenei me'achshav, nimtza oto chametz ki'ilu hu pikadon etzel hagoy, v'asur bahanaya lachar ha-pesach. Suppose a Jew gives chametz to a non-Jew as a mashkon, collateral for a loan, and stipulates that if he doesn't repay the loan by a certain date, then the non-Jew will automatically take possession of the chametz as payment for the loan. If the loan is not repaid, the Rambam rules that this chametz is permitted after Pesach if two conditions are met. One, the date stipulated upon is before Pesach. Two, the stipulation is retroactive, that is, if the Jew doesn't repay the loan, then the chametz shifts to the ownership of the non-Jew retroactively from the date on which the stipulation is made. The reason for this second condition relates to the concept of asmachta, a larger topic to be addressed on some other occasion, which essentially means that a non-retroactive stipulation isn't considered a serious commitment on the part of the borrower, and therefore isn't binding. But the Rambam's psak is puzzling, because the second condition seems to make the first one irrelevant. If the non-Jew acquires the chametz retroactively, why does the date at which this happens need to be before Pesach? Even if they agree on a date after Pesach, the Jew should not be in violation of Bal Yireh Bal Yimatzeh if he ends up defaulting on his debt, as the non-Jew retroactively owned the chametz the entire time. This is indeed the opinion of the Ravid, who adds a second point too. There is no concept of asmachta in a transaction with a non-Jew, so that if the repayment date is before Pesach, then there is no need for the stipulation to be retroactive at all. So it ends up that the two conditions which the Rambam requires in combination suffice for the Ravid as one or the other. Either the repayment date must be before Pesach, or the stipulation must be retroactive. The opinion of the Ravid is shared by most Rishonim and is accepted as psak halacha by the Shulchan Aruch. Halacha Vav. Yisrael v'goy shayu ba'im basfina, v'haya chametz biyad Yisrael, v'higia sha'a chamishit, harei ze mochro la'goy o notno lo b'matana, v'chozer v'lokcho menu achara pesach, uvilad shi'itnenu lo matana gemura. If a Jew and a non-Jew are traveling together at sea just before Pesach, when the time of Isser Chametz is approaching, and the Jew has no way to destroy his Chametz in time, then he may sell it or give it to the non-Jew in order to avoid violating Bal Yireh Bal Yimatzeh, and then buy it back from him after Pesach. But this only works if the Jew seriously means for the Chametz to be sold or given. Halacha Zayin. Omer hu Yisrael Agoy, ad shata lokech b'maneh bo v'kach b'matayim. Ad shata lokech migoy, bo v'kach miYisrael. Shama etzroch v'kach mimcha achar ha-Pesach. Aval lo yimkor lo v'lo yiten lo al tenai. V'imasaken harei ze over al bal yireh uval yimatzeh. When selling the chametz to the non-Jew, the Jew may suggest to him that he buy more than he needs, and hint to the prospect that the chametz will be bought back after Pesach. But the sale cannot be made on condition that the chametz be bought back after the holiday. If this condition is made, then the Jewish seller is in violation of Bal Yireh Bal Yimatzeh, as his relinquishment of his chametz was only conditional and not complete. This case in the Rambam first appears in the Tosefta, and even though it speaks only of a Jew who is stuck at sea and has no choice but to sell his chametz to a non-Jew, it has become over the centuries the basis for the very widespread custom of mechirat chametz before Pesach every year. At first, this was only permitted for businesses which owned large stocks of chametz and would suffer very substantial losses if they destroyed their entire inventory. Over time, the custom spread to private households as well, but many poskim recommend limiting to the extent possible one's reliance upon this halachic loophole. In any event, whenever one does sell chametz, the principle formulated by the Rambam at the end of Halacha Vav is critical. The seller must seriously feel that he is selling the chametz, and not merely engaging in a legal fiction. If the seller does anything over Pesach, which indicates that he considers the chametz to be his, this may undermine the entire premise of the sale and invalidate it. Halacha Chet. Tarovet chametz ovrin alea mishum bal yireh val yimatzei, kegon hamurias v'chutach habavli v'sheichar hamadi, sheosin oto min hakemach, v'chol kayotzei ba'elu midvarim haneachalim. Aval davar sheyesh bo tarovet chametz ve'eino ra'ui la'achila, harei ze mutar lekaymo bepesach. We saw the concept of tarovet chametz, a food in which chametz is mixed as one ingredient among many, back in Perek Aleph Halacha Vav. There, the Rambam wrote that one is in violation of the lo taseh, of kol machmetzet lo tochelu, and not the lo taseh against eating chametz proper, if he eats enough of this tarovet to have consumed a kazayit of chametz within the time span of kedei achilat pras. In other words, since a pras for the Rambam consists of 9 kezeitim, as we'll see later in the Mishnah Torah, one is in violation of kol machmetzet lo tochelu if he eats a tarovet chametz in which at least 1/9 of the volume is actual chametz, and he has to eat a pras of it so that he eats a kazait of actual chametz. Here, the Rambam says that one is in violation of Bal Yireh Bal Yimatzeh if he retains ownership of a tarovet chametz. Ownership meaning, of course, what we've learned in the first few halachot of this perek, including taking responsibility. Just as if he owns pure chametz or so'or. What type of tarovet chametz is the Rambam speaking of? According to the Kesef Mishnah, as long as the tarovet contains a kazait of chametz, the minimal amount to violate Bal Yireh Bal Yimatzeh, the owner violates Bal Yireh Bal Yimatzeh, no matter how much non-chametz there is in the tarovet. This makes perfect sense. After all, he owns a kazait of chametz, so who cares what else this chametz is mixed with? But the Magen Mishnah understands that the Rambam here is referring only to the type of tarovet chametz for which one violates the lav of kol machmetzet lo tochelu if he eats it. That is, at least 1/9 of it is actual chametz. The basis for this understanding in the text of the Rambam is that he brings the same examples of tarovet chametz, kuta chabavli and shechar hamadi, which he mentioned back in Parak Alpha Lachavav. But this is a conceptually more mechudash reading of the Rambam, because, as the Kesef Mishnah points out, there is no clear reason to distinguish between different percentages of chametz when it comes to bal yireh v'al yimatzeh. The Magen Mishnah must understand that bal yireh v'al yimatzeh does not apply to chametz in any mixture, as the Kesef Mishnah believes, but only to a tarovet with a significant density of chametz. And how do we determine significant density? We use the standard, the same one that was used back in Perek Aleph regarding the Isser of Kol Machmetzet Lo Tochelu. So as long as there is 1/9 chametz, 1 kazayit of chametz in every pras of the tarovet, he violates Bal Yireh V'al Yimatzeh, just as he would violate the Isser of eating a tarovet chametz if he actually ate the entire pras. The Rambam limits this entire application of Bal Yireh V'al Yimatzeh to a tarovet chametz which is edible. One may keep over Pesach any inedible tarovet chametz, and the Rambam proceeds to list examples in the next two halachot. Flour mixed with liquid by a tanner in the process of treating leather is considered inedible after 3 days, which is shortened to 1 hour if the leather is also placed in the mixture. Different types of creams and ointments which contain chametz may be held onto over Pesach for the same reason. At the end of Halacha Yod Aleph, there's also the example of glue made from flour, which is used to hold sheets of paper together. In Halacha Yod Bet, the Rambam adds a caveat. Though a mixture containing chametz which isn't considered human food may be held onto over Pesach, because it isn't subject to Bal Yireh V'al Yimatzeh, one may not eat it during Pesach at all. These halachot are relevant for the practical questions of what to do with non-food items like medicines, toothpaste, and ointments, which contain chametz among their ingredients. As the Rambam says, there is room to distinguish between ownership of these items and using them over Pesach. There are many factors which are relevant to these questions, and the conclusion may vary for different types of non-food items. The listener is referred to extensive discussions in the halachic literature and to online instructions by kashrut organizations for further details. We conclude the perek with the beginning of Halacha Yud Aleph. Hapat atzma shiipsha v'nifsala mi'lechol ha-kelev u'melugma shenisrecha eino tzarich leva'er. Even though a tarovet chametz is removed from the isurim of bal yireh v'al yimatzeh as soon as it is unfit for human consumption, actual chametz, like bread, must be destroyed unless it is no longer fit even for animal consumption, specifically to be eaten by a dog. The reason, several achronim explain, is that even inedible chametz may be used, like se'or, as a leavening agent to make other dough into chametz, and this can be done until it is unfit even for a dog to eat. As a final note before we conclude this shiur, we touch on a question which the Rambam never addresses explicitly. Is there a difference between the two prohibitions of Bal Yireh and Bal Yimatzeh? The Rambam throughout this perek speaks of them as one unit, which is surprising in light of his general opinion that different mitzvot lo taseh among the 613 mitzvot must have distinct content, and no two are merely reformulations of one another. The Kesef Mishnah back in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel suggests, and the same idea appears in Rashi and Psachim, that Bal Yireh only applies when the chametz is actually seen, hence doesn't apply for hidden chametz. This is questionable, as the Rambam should have said this explicitly if it were indeed the case. Another answer suggested by some achronim is that the entire premise of the question is incorrect. It isn't true for the Rambam that two mitzvot lo taseh, which are counted separately, must always have a practical nafkamina, that is, a case in which one violates one without the other. As long as both lavim are necessary to provide some halachic detail, and neither one is merely a restatement of the other, it can be that both are violated only as a package deal, with no practical nafkamina between them. As the Rambam explained in detail in Halacha Aleph of this perek, that is exactly the case with the two Isurim of Bal Yireh and Bal Yimatzeh. Each one provides details about the prohibition of owning chametz on Pesach, which we would not have known from the other.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.